Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 169. We're your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brayton Oski.
I'm Austin Morales, and we have a special guest on.
Hello, everyone.
Scott Craig.
How's Introducing Scott Craig.
Hey.
Welcome, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah. So we got Scott here. He has been a longtime follower and fan of ours. He has been to all of our events, probably, I feel like.
About 99%.
99.9.
Yeah.
Maybe
99.99. Yeah.
Something
there you go. That 1% I might have missed, but the rest.
99.99.
But we have him coming on to chat with us and talk about some Forest and Fortnite and all the things.
So this week we're going to talk about Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire that releases today. We're also going to talk about Forest 1.0. And in news, we talk about a little bit about Red Dead Redemption, the trailer, and how Rockstar is making open world games. We're also talking about Total Biscuit and how he's retiring from the video game industry. And our discussion topic, the rise of Fortnite. What makes it good? What makes it bad, if anything? And what is Season 4 going to bring and change to the world of Fortnite? So without further ado, cue the music.
Hey guys, this is Troy Baker. You may know me from some of the games that Nolan North isn't in, or some of the games that he is, like Uncharted 4. I was the other Drake brother. It's the better looking Drake brother. It doesn't matter. The point is, you guys are listening to the Inner Gamer Podcast.
It is May 8th, 2018. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we'd love for you to support us on Patreon for as little as $12 a year or $20 a year or $500 a year. It doesn't matter. We will take all of it. You can make this podcast better and we'll give you some goodies along the way, such as invite to our Discord channel to play video games with us. It'd be really cool. And I think you would really get a lot of value out of it. So let's talk about some video games we played this week, guys.
Yes. We have a big one.
Today, as you're listening to this podcast, a game comes out, Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire. It is May 8th. The game releases today. We got a review copy, and Austin has played it.
I have. So this is by Obsidian Entertainment.
Yep.
And Versus Evil.
Published by Versus Evil, yep.
Great guys. Great people. If you haven't already,
and girls.
Go to our YouTube and search for our Pillars of Eternity 2 interview at PAX South this year. It was great. We had Katrina Garston.
Yeah.
Why did I keep getting that wrong?
See, this time I remember
apologize,
because of the last
Katrina.
Time.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why I thought Karen.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a great interview. We had Devin on.
Because we were talking about Jessica Jones and Daredevil and stuff like that. And Karen's one of the characters in Daredevil.
There it is. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I got to play this game. And I was trying to jumping into it and all the mechanics, it boiled down to it being very, very similar to D&D, like extremely similar to D&D. And the only other game I could think of that's closest to it that I have played was Divinity Original Sin 2. Very similar.
Right.
And almost all the way around. Only difference is I find Divinity a lot more fast paced, a lot more it's more along the lines of something that I would play and find more exciting.
Yeah.
So with Pillars, everything's a little slower, at least for me. I know that there's a huge cult following from Pillars 1, which a lot of people I've heard about, and even in our comments and on our YouTube video, like everyone's like super, super into like the whole world and story and the way you played it. And someone said that it was very similar to Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I didn't play Baldur's Gate. No one else played it, right?
No.
Okay.
Wait, Baldur's Gate?
Yeah.
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Okay, tell me about Baldur's Gate real quick.
So Baldur's Gate plays, it's basically like, kind of if you guys ever played,
that game.
It's escaping me. But anyways, basically, it's a lot like D&D.
The
format. You know, you pick a character. You have like a dwarf, an elf, a human, and you kind of roam around.
Diablo?
It feels a lot like Diablo in a way, but the play style is a little different.
Right.
But it's, yeah, it's very much, you know, you kill the monsters, you get the loot, and it goes in stages. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what it sounds like you're explaining
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is here.
Gotcha.
So for the story, in the first one, there was this event called the Hollowborn Crisis, and I guess the main character had to go into through that and deal with that. And in this one, we have this being called Aethys, which is like a god. And I assume he was in the first one because he returns in this one, and he's like, comes like rises out of the ground, and you have to follow him as a way watcher or just a watcher, and you're actually resurrected by one of the gods, and they're like, you need to do this for us because this is your, you know, duty type plot point, and they send you off into the world, and so you sail around the ship on these islands, and it's
archipelagos.
Yes, very very interesting. Like, I really like this setup. I like the story. I already see that there's a huge depth in here. I wish I played the first one.
Question. Yes. So with the island format that they have in there, so you're basically, like, whenever you're traveling from island to island, it's basically just like, is there any activity that happens during that transition?
Yeah.
Or is it just like, this is a way to throw in a cutscene, and then you're on the boat for like a minute, and then you go over to the next island? Is there like stuff you do in between the islands as you're traveling?
So you start off as your shipwrecks, and you have to repair your ship. So after you get that taken care of, you're able to sail around the islands, but it's more of like a very, I don't know how to explain it. Like, you're looking at a map, but you're moving your ship around. And it's not like you're on the ship, like,
oh, so it's not
like you're actually sailing.
It's not the isometric 3D view. It's just like, it's like you're looking at a map with a little ship that travels around.
And you direct your thing. And as you move, time goes by super fast. And then it allows you to either come in contact with another ship who wants to attack you, or you can go to an island. And that same view allows you to travel around the island without having to be in that.
So basically, without having to pull the map up every time.
What do you mean?
Like,
oh, yeah,
normally you pull the map up to see like where you are,
right?
In relationship
and that's
and
just
stuff.
Yeah, the map view.
Instead, like, the map is your traveling mechanism,
exactly,
and stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's
so
nice.
I guess we can leave that in the combat when. So you're in that map view, and as you move around these islands, like, you can stop and dock and stuff. You there's like little key icons that you can go to visit, so it allows you to find loot.
Right.
So instead of like, you know, walking around and like, oh, I'm going to look in this crate. You know, you're in that view. So you're just like, oh, you pick up 25 water at this thing. Or like, you're at a burial site and you can search it multiple times and get different loot from that. And you can move on and just search this island. And there's these little encounter areas where...
Wait, so that part when you're getting that loot and stuff like that, is that back to the isometric view where you're walking around with your characters?
Mm-hmm. It's a map view. You're still in map view. So as you
so
get to these...
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm just trying to like get a grasp of it. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like Mass Effect 2, in which like you're going over top of planets and you're scanning it before you come down.
Gotcha. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Great example. I couldn't think of one that was just like that.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
So you some of these areas, some of these icons are encounter areas. So like it pulls up like a book type.
Yeah.
Looks like you're reading a book and it gives you like a description like, oh, you hear something. Do you use your abilities, you know, kind of like your D&D stuff. So like I have a high awareness because I'm an elf.
Yeah.
And, I listen, I pass, you know, the meted requirement to listen to this area, and it gives you more information. And then sometimes you can actually bypass enemies in these encounter areas, but other times like you have to engage them.
So it's like you're rolling to win or lose.
Yeah. Right. So very D&D. For those who have watched our D&D stuff, it's kind of like that one where we saw some people who had their wagon broken, and we walked up to them.
Right.
And then it turned out there was like multiple people there. They were going to kill us but you somehow convinced them to leave us alone.
Yeah. That's why I got
your
that.
Your crazy
that
persuasion
skill, man.
Wizard stuff. Anyway. So I find that very interesting, and it's very unlike Divinity in that way, because that happens a lot.
Very unlike or like it?
Unlike, like that kind of encounter, the way that mechanic happens. Like Divinity is very, you stay in the isometric and you run around
and
you just attack and everything's there. And Divinity is more planning. I haven't played too much of this because it's just not very much my game. The pacing is very slow. There's actually a lot of loading screens, even though they said there's not a lot of loading screens. But like going from one section to another, like, so you're in that map view and you go into a town, right? But the town is like very, very small. Like the area that you can actually walk around in and interact with people and go to shops and stuff.
So in a way, it's not like open world.
It's not
exploration. It's like,
yes, it's very
area stage, yeah, basically. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I was wondering if that was just in the, cause I played a preview version of it like 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is this the whole game or is this just because they're locking me off into a section?
Yeah.
But no, that is not the way.
That okay. is the game. And I don't like that. I see how it works in a way, helps with cost. I feel like, I mean, I'm trying to think like just boil it down. I mean, is Baldur's Gate like that?
Well, yeah, Baldur's Gate is very similar. There's not open world at all. You're basically okay. stage by stage.
Okay, I
yeah.
gotcha.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Like enter into a region and then you just run through
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. You know, loot the carcass, get the stuff, and then keep going.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, there's usually like, big boss like
levels.
At the end.
And,
yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so, yeah, so I'm thinking of like Diablo and Divinity
yeah.
type stuff. Like
yeah,
that
exactly.
I'm used to. And I was hoping for that, but I mean, it's a different style game, so that's fine. Overall, I just the pacing just really got me down with that.
Yeah.
It's just.
Gotcha.
I want to run around. I want to search stuff, you know.
You want to explore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. And it's very focused on story, which is great. And I think the story is amazing. I won't get too much into that. I'll let you guys kind of dive into that. There's a lot. There's a lot to the story.
Yeah.
And I haven't even got the full grasp of everything. I just know that I'm following this giant god that's walking around the world, and I have to just travel through these islands. And there's actually ship management and crew management of your on your ship, which is a whole other beast I haven't even got into. I'm just riding around hoping nothing happens because there's a lot of depth into everything. It's very D&D to the degree that it's almost too much for me as a gamer because it's not my playstyle.
Is there like gotcha. Inventory management and like stat management, all that stuff as well? That's pretty deep.
Yes.
Or is, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like it's just like D&D. When you level up, you get to
yeah.
pick certain things, and
yeah.
and the skill tree is pretty. Pretty
intense.
In-depth as well, which is awesome. I think that is something I really enjoy. I always enjoy doing the skill tree stuff. Mm. There's just so much. There's just so much to pick from. So, I mean, if you like something like this, multiple playthroughs are a must, almost, I feel like. I don't know if that's the same with Baldur's
yeah.
Gate.
So I would say, so it sounds like what you're describing is there's like it's very heavy on customization. Like you can
oh, yeah.
basically just kind of change your character up any what way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Baldur's Gate was more limited in that capacity.
Right.
You didn't really have, you were kind of set on a direct path. It's like, okay, you're a human fighter kind of thing.
Right.
But these are also older games, so.
True,
you know,
true.
But the customization to me, like, and the my play style, I enjoy a lot of customization. And skill trees, like you're saying, like the bigger the skill tree, the better you can kind of change, you know, like I'm not just a fire wizard, like I'm
right.
You know, an awesome overall wizard or whatever,
right.
You know, like it's, you can change, you know, what your character can do.
Right.
And that's what makes the playthroughs so great, you know, and
yeah.
the replay value that much better.
And now with this one, they have multi-classing. So
oh,
not only
wow.
can you be, cause I'm a elf ranger, you can also do other things as well. So you can be like, and as you get, your group together, like new people to join your group, you can tell them to be usually there's three choices. One was like a warrior, one was like, I don't know, I was gonna say druid, and then you can combine the two to make something else. So it's like, it's very interesting, very, very interesting.
Okay.
So because it's my first playthrough,
yeah.
I decided not to do multi-classing and to just kind of play through. But for people who like this in-depth stuff and who want to play a game, like a single game for, you know, for like a few months at a time, like this is the one to buy, especially
gotcha.
If you played the first one. Like I know they're going to, those people are just going to kill it because they got 3 million
yeah.
on Kickstarter.
Right.
Wow.
And
yeah.
they only asked for a million.
There's
so
a huge,
only a million.
Huge
buying this.
Yeah.
Game.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
yeah.
people do love this game.
Very cool.
It's yeah. a pass for me right now, but, yeah,
delay.
That's just, yeah,
yeah
or, sorry.
Yeah.
Delay. Yeah. Delay.
Delay.
I wouldn't get it right now.
Yeah.
It's one of those games where it's like buy on a lull. You know, like the summer lull and just
yeah.
get through that.
If you
yeah.
if need something
yeah.
to play that's, because I feel like too, it's from what I remember them talking about, it's like a 40 to 50 hour minimum commitment to
yes.
play like the whole entire story and all
yeah.
the content that's inside of it, minimum. So it's a pretty hefty game for
oh,
sure.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
So Scott, you've been playing The Forest,
yes,
which
sir.
Has been out since, I think it came out in a long time ago.
Yeah, April and, like of 2014. Basically.
Yeah, so
and
forever.
It's, yeah, it's been an early release for 4 years. And honestly, when it first came out, you know, it was, you know, early release. You know, I wasn't expecting, you know, the best of the best.
Right.
But I there was something about it that drew me in. You know, it wasn't your basic survival co-op horror game. And I'm a huge fan of that, like Left 4 Dead, all those kinds of, you know, get together games. Like that's like just that it just hits me at the core.
Yeah.
But this one is different because it actually has like a main story, but you can basically do whatever. So I mean, Austin, you're talking about like free roaming, like this. You can basically play the game completely separate from how it's supposed to be played. Well, supposed to be played.
Right. Right.
You know. So, but yeah. So it's out of early release now, and there's just been so many updates over the years. That like it really is a different game now, and they're going to be releasing VR, which is going to be amazing.
Hell yeah,
on the 22nd. So yeah, just so getting ready for that. That's going to be an
that's all you've been talking about this
lifetime.
Week.
Yeah, you guys know I can't shut up about it. But yeah, this game to me is just it's just a great game, and it's you know for even being in 4 years of early release, I you know to me it was worth it. It was worth the wait. Well worth the wait. But yeah, just. Well, I mean, you guys have played it, so you guys.
I haven't actually.
Oh, you haven't.
Yeah, I haven't touched it.
I don't know why, but everyone assumes that you have.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Well, I mean, Brett would be the one person to not have played it.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotcha. I gotcha. Well, Austin. So what? I mean, I know you're like iffy about it. You know,
I'm not iffy. It's a fun game. Like I enjoy it. I just feel like it's too much of a time suck.
Really?
Wait, yeah. What
do you mean? Gotcha.
Well, because, you know, you get on this island and then you have to start building to survive, right? Which is cool. Like I love the concept. Me and Travis played it for like a week straight almost.
So you can't come and play an hour, basically. You got to commit a couple hours. So
yeah.
Like really.
Like if you wanted to dig in and like get your mouth, like your fill of the game, you can't get it done in an hour.
Is it persistent where like if you come in with your three friends or whatever, play around, build a fortress or whatever and do all this stuff, can you come back to that same world where it was left off?
Absolutely. So basically, yeah, someone can host like a game and each character, the cool part about it is basically you're kind of responsible for your own character. So you can save your character in their game, but basically you can only come back to that game when the host is on. But yeah, you can save your own character. Everything will stay the same. The buildings that you made. And it's not one of those games where it's like, oh, I built up and then like a week's passed and like, you know, monsters have come in and destroyed it in the time I haven't played. You know,
right.
It's going to be there exactly how it was when you loaded
it. Okay.
But with this new update that they did, which is kind of crazy. So like I said, the game's changed dramatically. It's basically a new game now. But
originally there wasn't a story or anything, right? It was just
a standard thing. Then they kind of threw in a story and I actually played through all the way the first time around. Okay. And I love the story. But apparently there's like new endings and all that stuff. So I'm super psyched about
Interesting.
That. But basically now they've removed, like they've changed around locations and everything. I mean, it's so much different. And that's just like, I know one of the huge complaints, like with this latest update was that like they had these massive mutant monsters. Basically the enemies you fight are like these cannibal mutants. Really? They're not zombies. They're not. Yeah. They're basically just like mutant cannibals. But you get these like giant monstrosities, you know, like the leg creatures and the like, and it would take forever to kill them. And then basically you knock them down and you wouldn't get any loot from them. And people would just be like, man, I've wasted all this time. Like this thing's destroyed my base. What's going on here? And, you know, now they've actually been like, okay, people have complained a lot that, you know, you can't get anything. So now you can get like a suit of armor out of it or something like that.
Right.
So it's a very, I feel like they've really taken the criticisms of the community to heart. And that's like whenever, you know, a developer does that, like, you know, that they care about what's happening in the game. So,
yeah, that was my biggest complaint is like, it wasn't rewarding enough. Not that it needs to be, because I think that, I mean, there is a story to this game and it is pretty deep.
Yeah.
But you have to go look for it, which is cool. And I didn't even know at first. So that was the most like interesting thing. And that's what really made me want to play this game at first was like, there's a story here. I spoiled it for myself because like I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to have time to literally dig into this. I don't even know like where to begin, how to look for stuff. But it's all about like diving into those caves, finding hidden clues. And it just, you know, sends you along this path to an actual end game where the story actually ends. But to know that they've done a lot more updating, I guess more streamlined, especially for this day and age where people want rewards for stuff they do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
it might be worth getting back into.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I definitely think you should definitely give it a second chance for sure. And just, you know, because like I said, the crafting mechanisms are great. I mean, to me, so here's the thing, you know, kind of like cutting into Fortnite a little bit, you know, like the crafting in that game is insane to me. Like I probably will never get on pace with that. But with this, like I can build, you know, like a nice little fortress for myself and not have to worry about some crazy person coming and destroying it in a day, you know? Like, most of the time. Yeah, most of the time.
What are the building mechanics like in this game? Like, are they like Fortnite where they're just easy click and just like build walls and floors and stuff like that?
Or? Yeah, I would say that the resource collection is a little bit more extreme. You know, it's a little more taxing. You have to kind of cut down trees. It takes a long time sometimes, but there's tools that help you along the way. So basically, as you grow as a player and experience
more. It's akin to Minecraft and like the resource gathering.
Yeah, basically once you learn how the world kind of works, then you can kind of manipulate it how you want to get that resource, you know?
Yeah.
So it's but to me, it's one of the best survival horror games out there, for sure.
Man, I need to play it. Apparently the team is like super small, like 4 people.
Yeah,
they're developing this thing,
and that one reason,
which,
you know,
is incredible to think about, especially because it's had such a huge following of people, and they're all like visual effects artists before this, so like they came in and they're like, we were gonna make a game that's different and new. But I didn't realize some of the stuff that was in it. Like I was reading the Steam page, and it's like the mutants, apparently they said they have beliefs, families, morals, and appear human or whatever, so they have like stories to each like mutant that's in there or whatever. That's pretty trippy. And the building aspect and all that, and just, yeah, it's very
huge mystery.
Did you ever play Rust?
I did not play Rust.
So I'm curious to see how this compares, like from a player that's played Rust.
It's a little similar. I've seen videos and stuff of Rust, so it's like you have to go get, you know, all your mats, and then you build from there, and there's blueprints and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is it in the sense of building and stuff like that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, just like as a game as a whole.
Because
Rust is a survival adventure
game.
It's not a horror game, but it's a survival adventure game.
But you're up against other people.
You're against other people, yeah. So it's not like there's AI in the world that's coming to kill you as well. It's just you find resources, you gather resources, you build forts, and you fight off against, just protect yourself against others. And that had a huge following as well. But I didn't like that game because it was extremely taxing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very... Like I felt like you said about, I guess, the forest too, is that you had to really spend a lot of time. Like I had friends that played 1,000 hours of Rust, and that was what was required to like build stuff up and get things going
much of a time suck.
Yeah. But this, like, are you playing against other people or is it exclusively AI?
So, it's technically it's exclusively AI. But if you go on multiplayer, you can kind of treat it how you want. People can actually hurt each other.
You can
come multiplayer
in,
mode. So you can treat it how you would like.
There is a multiplayer mode?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like you and Travis played together.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you meant like against other people.
Yeah, like teams against other teams.
Whenever you, not necessarily teams, but it's kind of, that's what's cool about it. It's kind of like it's open world. You know, you decide what you want to do. If you want to go destroy this person's fortress and like, you know, take their loot, you can
do
that.
But other people's fortresses that are
players. You can destroy your own. Yeah, there's literally, there aren't like battle lines drawn, like a game mode that's like, oh, this is team kill. This is, no, it's just like, you all survive, and then if someone wants to go and kill you and take your stuff, then they're going to do it.
Yeah,
like,
thinking it was like ISO, like you and four, like three friends, like Minecraft, you and three friends join into an empty world where there's AI players, but there's no actual human players that could attack you.
Yeah.
But this game, there are human players that can come and attack you and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's just set up like, that's what I like about it. There's the freedom, basically. That's what I like about this game, is like kind of the potential of it. Yeah. You can just do what you want, really.
So it's like a mix of Rust and Minecraft brought into a survival horror game.
Yeah,
which is cool.
I'll say that.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's
interesting.
A good one.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to play it. It's only $20.
Yeah,
and when they released it on early access, they left it up to $20. So, which is fascinating.
Yeah. Very nice.
And especially if you have VR out there, you know, get the VR, because even if you don't like the game as a whole when you play it, then try the VR experience. And you know, it'll be something
cool. Awesome. Well, I was going to talk about Lightfall, but I'm going to save that for next week since we're running on time here. So we'll...
Yeah, 6 minutes. 5 minutes?
No, I'm going to talk about next week.
Okay.
It's okay. I want to get some more time into it. So
okay, cool.
Yeah, so we're going to take a break and come back with our video game news. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Yeah.
It is time for our video game news. In this segment, we share the best headlines from the week in the gaming industry. And first up, we're going to talk about the most exciting announcement from last week, probably the new trailer from Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh yeah.
Coming in October. Mm-hmm. Who's excited about this game? Anybody?
I don't know anybody who's not excited.
Austin's
That's
not
a real
excited
question.
About this game. He's like, well, I don't really care about this game.
You know,
fuck this game. No. No, I'm really excited about this game.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but I'm
cautiously optimistic.
Yes, I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to look amazing.
Yeah.
And already the cinematics look phenomenal, and I'm getting it on PC. I don't know about anybody else.
I don't know.
But the last game had issues with it, which I think has a lot of problems with just in general Rockstar games, which
Red Dead Redemption it's or more, just like the last like GTA, you mean?
Rockstar games.
No, you said the last. Oh, so the.
Well, yeah, with the last one. Yeah, with the last Red Dead.
Red, okay.
And just in general, like for me, I think it's just a personal thing, but I feel like sometimes there's too much to do. And there's too much downtime in between missions, which is cool. Like, go off, do what you want. Huge fan of Skyrim. I want more of, I guess, more of what kind of God of War did, where it's pushing you, like compelling you to continue the story.
So you want
to know what's going to happen next.
Okay.
Yeah. I can go off and do this side mission, you know, great. But now I want to get back on it. Like, I want to know what's going on.
That's the issue that I've always talked about with like Skyrim and stuff like that. Why I don't like those games. It's for that exact reason.
Right.
There's nothing. Skyrim and Fallout and stuff like that. Like, I don't have any compelling reason to continue onward
Fallout
in the story like I want to.
That was a huge mistake on their part.
Yeah.
For story wise. Skyrim, I feel like it was a different beast. Came out at a great time.
Yeah.
Which is like, let's just go explore, have fun.
Yeah.
Open world.
Yeah, so you want more of like a linear experience in that respect, as far as like story, you want
I mean, I want the open world.
Sure, but you want to be, like you said, pushed to be able, like, you know, basically the incentive to continue the story rather than like, okay, I could do this, but the side quest seems more interesting. Like,
right.
You know, okay, I got you.
Yeah, because some of the missions, especially in GTA, the GTA games in general, are like monotonous and kind of like, I'm doing this because it's like this crazy thing that needs to be done. It's like, why?
Yeah,
why?
No.
It's like too... It's surreal. But I mean, that's what GTA is. You know, I get it. It's a parody on like actual life.
Yeah, sure.
Which is fine.
Yeah. No, I feel you. And honestly, that's why I even like me personally, the GTA games, like because of the fantasy aspects and everything of Skyrim, that's why I enjoy them. You know, it's just the different skin of it. But
right.
Like that's what I like. So even GTA nowadays, I'm kind of like lost on that because other than San Andreas, the last one I actually played. Yeah, it just feels like, yeah.
So Brett, so what do we got here? We got secrets.
So in this trailer, there was a lot of things revealed to you that people may not have noticed if they didn't like pay close attention to the overall trailer and everything. But there's an article posted on IGN by John Ryan that kind of breaks down the different things in this trailer. One thing that people may not realize is that John Marston was shown in this trailer three times. So he appeared in this as a younger version of the character that you played in RDR1, which to me is really exciting because you're not playing John Marston, but like the fact that he's going to exist in this world and you can see like his story before you got to RDR1, I think it's kind of interesting. And then he's got scars and stuff. So that's like they show some close-ups of that. So you're going to learn a lot about – they showed a lot about the gang and like who's going to be involved in that. So you see Dutch and there's – a character named Arthur and John and stuff like that. And what was interesting to me, they point out one thing, which is there's a part where you're about to, a character, I don't remember his name, but he's about to walk up to, they're going up to a train and there's a train rolling by and it looks like they're about to do like a heist on this train. So I'm thinking that what's going to happen is similar to GTA 5 and the bank heist, one of their big like gameplay mechanics in this is going to be a train like heist where it's not just let's just roll up to the side of the train, get on it, steal the stuff and run away. But it's like a really involved, in-depth, like take down this train over like an hour or two or whatever. And like really work hard to like go from like cabin to cabin or whatever to like take down this train. So that was an interesting remark on there. They have a part in here where you see Blackwater, which is from the first game.
Yeah.
And Blackwater shows up again. So we're going to go back to places we've been to before, but like 10 years prior. So it'll be interesting to see like how things have changed in that period of time.
And yeah, there's a bunch of little nods. Like what I like about it is like you have I feel like there's gonna be a lot of different types of side quests and missions that you can do. Like there's people chasing after like stagecoaches, and then there's like apparently there's parts where you can break in a horse, like that's a side mission or whatever. You have the train heist. You have all these different towns that have living, breathing NPCs, which I'll talk about in a second. And then yeah, there's just a lot of familiarity with like characters that were from the first game that are coming back into this. But what's different is that you're not in the future, you're like going back early on. So like seeing a younger version of this person, younger version of that person, seeing like how they got to that point where they're like old and hardened and like completely different. So it's kind of like the transition we made from God of War to the new God of War, where you see an older version of Kratos. Well, now we're going to see a younger version of John Marston, a younger version of Dutch, a younger version of all these Billy Williamson, all these characters that we knew from this game, but haven't been through all these toils that they had in the later game. So I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued for sure.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's...
No, I'm just kidding.
I think it's always, like, interesting whenever, you know, games kind of do that, you know, like, hint to the past kind of stuff.
Right.
You know? And especially because...
Well, sometimes it makes sense.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and what we've seen, like, here, yeah, with, you know, John Marston and everything, like, you can see, like, how it's starting out kind of thing, you know? Like this is the story of, you know... Like, it's just...
Right.
Like, it's cool to see. And who even knows? Like, your character that you play could have an overall impact. You know,
yeah,
on how things, oh, obviously should have an overall impact, you know? So it's cool, you know, that aspect of it.
I'm curious to see like where, how this is going to connect to RDR1, because RDR1 obviously is all about John Marston, but it doesn't seem like RDR2 is about John Marston.
It's not supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
But how does that tie into that? Like how in the hierarchy of the overall arc, because now there's two stories that tie into each other. How does that arc work out between the two games to mesh them together?
So in
that's what I want to know.
In RDR1, you're John Marston who is fighting against Dutch's gang.
Right.
That's your main enemy.
I get it.
Yeah.
In this game, you are part of the Dutch's gang. So that's the correlation there.
No, like I know.
You are
I
part
get
of that.
That
group that is.
But why tell this story?
Fighting that.
Why tell this story now?
So we got to find out. Maybe give you a new perspective.
Don't
on,
got
like,
no information.
Because you were, I mean, well, think about it though. Like, would it not be interesting to see that gang from a different perspective? Like, you were looking at it from the outside.
I really
in.
Don't remember the last perspective.
Why? But
it's been
just,
so long.
Just generally speaking,
yeah, yeah.
Like, you were a guy who was thrusted into one perspective as John Marston, who his goal, you're told, is to take down Dutch's gang. You have some backstory to that or whatever, but now you're looking at it from like you're inside Dutch's gang and then what it's like to play a character inside there. It's a completely different perspective. It's like
I get it.
Being a like,
but
you know,
they're still
looking
the
back
bad
to the Civil
guys.
War. Well, they wow. are maybe, but like, yeah. Look at the Civil
well, see,
War.
That, that's the thing.
But think about the Civil War, because you have the North and the South. The
right.
North thought the South was bad. The South thought the North was bad.
Right.
So both sides, to their eyes, are fighting an enemy, but to this enemy, these guys are the enemy and vice versa. So like seeing it, like imagine like fighting it, like playing a game where you start playing as the South and you're fighting off the Union in the North or whatever and taking those guys out. And then imagine playing another game later on where now you're in the North, completely different lifestyle, completely different experiences fighting the South and seeing like in their minds why these are bad people. I think that could be an interesting concept.
Yeah, yeah, morally gray, but they haven't really given us anything to chew on, and that's my biggest like thing right now. Is like I don't know what to chew on. I get where we are at, like I get the whole setting.
Yeah,
tell me, give me something interesting that I'm like, fuck yes, I want to play this game.
Yeah,
right now it's just like, oh hey, we're back here before John Marston was John Marston, and
I got you.
Cool looking scenery. I'm like, all right, awesome.
So, yeah. So for you,
that's
you're saying like the allure is not strong enough. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's not something that's
they
like,
haven't
oh,
given
this
us
is
the
must
story.
Have.
Yes,
yeah,
there's not that
you.
Story tidbit.
I got you.
God of okay. War.
Yeah,
very key dynamic between
no, you're absolutely
father
right.
and son.
Yeah.
Yeah,
super something that you can chew on.
I guess they haven't really put you in perspective of like
no
a like here's
like,
a
hey,
story beat
gang.
To follow that. That's just.
Right.
they're expecting you to like remember the story from the first game,
right?
And know what happened there to see the relationship and stuff like that.
You know, a few years, a long time. Though. Yeah, I was gonna say, but you kind of have to. Yeah. They're like a refresher.
I didn't take anything strong away from that besides that John Morrison died, and for those who didn't know, spoiler, it's been so long at this point.
Yeah,
and his son got revenge. Yeah. Like that was the thing. It was like, oh fuck yes! Like that is what the culmination of that game was.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah, it was like the best Wild West kind of story, really, you know.
So
like,
good, good.
And killing Dutch, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah. Well, you didn't really kill him.
No, you did. You kicked him over the cliff.
No, he fell. He jumped to his death.
Oh, either way, I mean, he died.
I watched it last night, actually. Yeah. I refreshed myself. Anyway,
so another thing I want to talk about with this is like kind of the relationship that this game has to Westworld, which is really interesting. But like in Westworld, you have these hosts that, if you guys haven't seen the Westworld show on HBO, you have these hosts that carry out these different types of, they have like a story that they follow through. They're programmed with a story of how they carry about their day. And the reason for that is to make the world feel real when you enter into it. So as a patron of this world, you're coming in there and you're seeing people that are going to be doing something that's, they're living their lives like normal.
Right.
Well, in previous games, we haven't ever had this. Like usually there's a, like people travel from a point A to a point B, but they don't have like a rich story that evolves with the gameplay, that revolves with like your interactions with that said world and things of that nature. So one of the things that they're doing here is that they know that, you know, you're not driving a car that's super fast. So there's, it's a slower paced game. So you're going to have to, they want to make sure that the world that's around you feels more realized and lived in and authentic so that, you know, you want to keep navigating through this world. So everything in the world runs on a schedule. Like, you know, you have people that, you have a cook that does his duties during the day. He cooks food for the people. He brings them to the table at night, blah, blah, blah. Say you have your horse who you're walking down the road or whatever, and you fall off a cliff with your horse. Your horse gets hurt. Well, that sucks. Your horse is hurt. So you're like, oh crap, I need to get supplies to feed my horse or whatever. You run to the town, you come back, your horse is dead because he fell down. So now you got to find a new horse. So real life things that happen in the world are impacting the situations as opposed to just like, I'm going to call over a new horse and do this thing. Like you're going to have these things that you're going to get attached to, these characters that you're going to be part of that are intensely impacted by the course of actions that take place in the game, whether you're interacting with those things or not. So,
it's kind of, I like to see that in practice because we've heard of stuff like stuff's been done in the past, obviously. And yes, we're in a different point in time. Technology's advanced, but it runs a huge risk of being too gamey. And I think it's one of those things they shouldn't have released this ahead of time. They should have waited till the game released, let people dig their sink into it, and then been like, "Oh, this is really cool. Explain more," and then they can dive into it or put something out after release. It's one of those things where now I expect too much from it. And I'm pretty sure it's not going to meet my expectations. It's too much of a dynamic and too good to be true for that to actually work.
Question:
perfect.
It's just being devil's advocate here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Has Rockstar ever not exceed your expectations?
I don't know in what sense.
In every sense. Like, has a game ever come out that you're like, this is not as good as I thought it would be? That you played by Rockstar? GTA 5, GTA 4, Red Dead Redemption 1. Like, have you ever been like excited about the game? You get it, and you're like, that wasn't as good as I wanted it to be.
I'll say this. Ever since GTA 2, I knew what I'd get myself into. They're adding like a new dynamic to this thing now, which I knew what I was getting myself into, regardless if they told me anything, but now that they added a little cherry on top, I'm expecting that cherry to be amazing.
Yeah.
I already expect amazing from them. Not to say they can't do it or...
Well, think about like GTA 5, you know, they had this big, huge thing that they announced beforehand that's like, you are going to be playing out three totally independent stories in this world that all interact with one another.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of experience hadn't been done before, where you play three separate characters and they cross paths. They sometimes work together. They sometimes don't. Like, that was a huge deal that they announced, and they nailed it. You know, they like hit it on the head, and that like blew everybody's mind because they're like, there's no way that this could work. And it did. So like that, I feel like they've succeeded in this same kind of vein many times before, and they're probably going to do it again.
Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been promised so many things in the past by other developers, and they don't nail it. And it's just like, well, this is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. But remember, we're talking about Rockstar.
I know. I'm,
yeah. This is, this
I'm not
is,
saying that they Rockstar. Couldn't do it.
Well, this game has been, they've been working on this game for 8 years. They started 8 years ago. So like, this is like something that's been brewing forever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like super excited about it. So I'm like, I can't wait.
We've all been that point where you're at, Brett. Yeah. I just don't want to be disappointed.
Yeah. Like I obviously I'm not on the same level of hype as you are, but I am definitely excited for it. And now that I know that this dynamic's in there, I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in the game itself.
Right.
Because I want to know how this is going to impact me as a player. Because I can see it kind of going two ways. One, I'm more intrigued and I'm like, yes, like this is a real life experience. Like, man, I actually feel like I'm part of it. Like Westworld, like right. I am literally part of this world. Or it's like, there's too much going on. Like to where the fact that I can't rely on like a blacksmith being there. Like what's going on? I need this fixed and he's out, you know, shopping in another Galvin, town or something. Yeah, exactly. Or he's been like taken prisoner, you know. Like it's kind of like when Fallout, you know, announced the whole villages, like you can protect your villages and everything like that. Like I love that idea. Like the settlements, I'm like, yeah. And then I overdid it. I overbuilt for it. I overprepared. And then after a while, you're like trying to play the main game. It's like, hey, your village is being attacked. It's being attacked. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's too much. Like, I don't, I just, like, I'm done. Like, there's too much with it.
And
so,
they did mention that in here that they were like,
yeah.
Like, where do you draw the line between realism and just making the game like work for you?
Don't make it a burden on the player.
Right.
And I think that's the hard thing to, you know, kind of grasp is like, how do you really know? Because everybody's different. Some people are like, whatever. I'll help that settlement. Others are like,
almost, Austin almost fell out of his chair. Be careful, Austin. Oh, yeah.
I can go this far back and be okay.
Yeah.
My senses tingling now.
There you go. That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Right. Should we move on?
That's what happens in Red Dead Redemption. Yep. Like random chance
that's
things
great.
Like that.
That's it's great.
The excitement.
That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on. So next story we got is on Nintendo. So Nintendo came out. They had a little bit of a kind of a press conference, like earnings report and stuff like that. And they said that despite the success of their mobile games that they've been putting out to have their Nintendo IPs reach larger audiences, it's not been satisfactory to their liking. So like Super Mario Run, for example, did not meet the expectations that they had on that game, which I think the issue was that they brought it out with like, here you can play some levels and then pay $10 to get the rest of it.
Yeah.
Like that's not a
that
good
price
like,
tag is not good.
Yeah. That's not a good thing for
you. Don't
mobile
give somebody a book
experience.
And only let them read half of it and be like, okay, now you got to pay the, you know,
yeah,
it's like
Well, especially for like mobile games, it's like that's not the traditional. Like you don't want to like totally change the game that way. You want to give them like piecemeal stuff. Is not even piecemeal, but like $10 to pay on a mobile app is like unheard of. So that was a throw off. But
agreed.
Fire Emblem Heroes has done really well. Not as good as they wanted to, but basically what they said with this announcement is that this isn't a like we're out of the mobile game space. It's just that they're going to push even harder going forward. So they're going to continue to support the existing properties that they have out there now, such as Animal Crossing on the mobile phone and Fire Emblem Heroes and Super Mario Run. And they got Mario Kart Tour coming out later or next year. And they have a few other games. They're working on a game called Dragalia Lost with Cygames. I don't know what Dragalia is, but that's apparently a thing. And we'll see where they go. But that's kind of the status they're at right now is Nintendo's opened up to the mobile world and they're not getting the what they expected to get out of it. But maybe they meant that things would fly off the shelves.
Very Nintendo.
Well, I mean, I guess here's the thing about, you know, Nintendo and mobiles, like, you know, like Game Boys, everything. Like, people expect that kind of quality out of a game from Nintendo. And then you bring out those mobile apps and, you know, they're basically found wanting. You know, there's a lack of substance there. And, you know, $10 for, you know, Mario, it's like, I mean, you're going to expect the quality.
Right.
And it just didn't really deliver on that one.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
And honestly, I'm not a huge mobile gamer anyways on my phone. But,
yeah.
You know, if it's Nintendo, it has that name. It has that brand naming. It's like, that's quality.
Yeah.
So
for sure. Another news, this is kind of a not so exciting news, but do you guys know Total Biscuit?
No.
British guy that
I can't
he's a YouTube content creator and he's known as like the kind of like an angry Brit or whatever, a cynical Brit as they call him.
All right.
He's huge on YouTube. Like he's got a huge following, mostly probably, you know, in different realms and whatnot, but he's 33 years old and he came out and had a talk on, he was on the H3 podcast actually, and was like, I'm dying. I don't have much life left, and I want to let everybody know that I'm retiring from the world. So I, from like everything, so that I can
enjoy my life,
focus on this stuff in my last little bit. Because apparently, the chemo he's been going through is, they told him it wasn't working, all that stuff. And the reason why I put this story in here is because it's like, it's kind of.
We don't hear about this,
huh?
We don't really hear stuff.
Yeah, you don't hear about this stuff. And this is like a real kind of, you know, not even a side effect, but like this is like stuff that can happen if you are too engrossed in this, like sitting on the computer all day or whatever. Like, you know, that's has bad health benefits and stuff like that. And he has bowel cancer or whatever. And that's, he didn't find it early enough. And then it's just kind of like,
so he went into remission and it came back and then it spread to his spine and his liver, which is not where you want it to spread.
No,
that's very, very bad.
Yeah. So he's not sure how much time he has left, but he's basically retiring and he's hoping his wife will take over the channels and stuff after he passes, whenever that may be. But yeah, it's just weird to see like a guy that comes out and is just like, I'm accepting the fact that I'm going to be dead soon and I can't do
anything
about it.
There's a way to battle that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he is. It's just like,
the chemo is not the way to go. That's just, that stuff is awful.
Think about it though. I mean, so being a YouTuber, that's basically a 24-hour job most of the time. You got to be checking, you know, all your statuses, get up to the latest news, you know, prepping all the time. So maybe he's like, you know, I want to live the rest of my life the way I want to,
right,
and not necessarily to the answer of the community.
Right.
And I can respect that 100%. So,
I
mean, honestly, and I think in most people's positions, if they knew they were going to be dying, you know, in a short time period, they'd probably be like, all right, I'm quitting my job. I'm going to go do this vacation I never went on. And, you know, like, it's, so I think it's a, you know, a perfect response.
Oh, yeah,
honestly.
Definitely.
But it is, yeah, it's definitely, you know, sad to see that kind of thing happen. So.
So to completely switch the mood and everything, get back to a brighter tone, the Boston Overwatch team, Boston Uprising, who once was a team that wasn't that well recognized in the world of the Overwatch League, has 14 matches that they've gone undefeated.
Woot.
14 straight matches.
That's an accomplishment.
They have bested teams like New York Excelsior, London Spitfire, and the Korean Titans,
Excelsior.
Seoul Dynasty. They've knocked all those guys out, and 14 straight games they have yet to lose. And the thing that made them do this is that they have a very untraditional strategy when it comes to their gameplay style. And in which case, most people, like, they use their main tanks up at the front. So, like, their Divas and their, what's the, Reinhardt, and what's the Gorilla? Gorilla. Winston. Yep, they use those guys at the front lines.
The Gorilla.
Like and those guys are crucial to the winning. But they don't do that. They're actually working from a different perspective. So their dives come from different blind spots, and their tanks manage to stay hidden longer from other teams. It makes them more difficult to fend off the attacks and find good positioning prior to their engagement. So that's pretty interesting. So they've like found a way to like kind of change up the whole expectation of playing Overwatch competitively and best these teams pretty hardcore. If they can sustain that, I don't know, but it's working really good for them so far. So that's really interesting.
It's just like us, how we went into Fortnite. We don't play by the strategies that have been defined at this point in time. And we kill a bunch of like high level players just out of sheer stupidity. Well, really, it is. So really, we're serious.
It's
different.
Yeah, I was going to say, these guys are clearly professional players for one. So they've tried and tried and tried again. At, you know, they've basically mastered a play style that is, you know, unbeatable. That's amazing. That's something I've never experienced in my history of gaming.
Well, it just sounds like
they're well done to them, because I've never played a game where I'm like, yeah, I'm unbeatable.
Okay.
Well, now, yeah, I've gotten lucky.
Yeah.
I've gotten lucky. But
for sure.
Unbeatable?
I mean, I'm not saying that they are like us. I was saying it's a sense that, and in PUBG, like, there's certain tactics that you use now on a daily basis.
Conventional.
Yes.
Yes.
And so, like, everyone has an understanding of that, and they know, they, you know, on the fly, you tweak it to try to best your opponent. But when you have someone who doesn't follow by the same standards, it throws you through a loop because you have to rethink everything on the fly.
That like when you encounter somebody, they're going to start building walls in front of you and like, build up a tower and stuff. It's like, well, how can you combat that? You know, like that's... If you can figure out a best,
we don't build towers. We don't build walls. And they're like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, leave them guessing.
What the hell's going on? Bam, I got shot in the head.
And so
I'm dead.
Here's the main reason I'm terrible at Overwatch. And you know, my friends I play with will tell you. Because I don't know how the character's supposed to be played, so I just play it how I feel. Yeah. And that does throw people all the time. Mostly my team, and they're not happy about it. But it does throw people. And so I'll find that sometimes I'll get kills just being just playing that unconventional way,
right?
Because I'm like, hey, you know, this works for me, you know. Most of the time, you know, I'm usually destroyed, but hey, sometimes I can go in and kill a whole team or something. Like, it's cool to see that, you know. And obviously they've done this and mastered it, so you know, kudos to them.
Well, even I like to add to that, like, I mean, individually, like, there's ways that players supposed to be played, but then, like, there's, when I came back to Overwatch after like a 3 month break or whatever, like, I realized that people started learning like proper team builds, and that, you know, like, this player and this player and this player and this player, like, these are the players you should have on your team. And if you don't have that, that's going to throw people off too. Yep. Because, like, you know, having like the Reinhardt, what's the dude that the shit, the guy with the turret that can turn into
Bastion.
Yeah. So like Bastion Reinhardt like duo, like having that, like that was like a build that you had.
Yeah.
Like the Mercy and the flying lady that you used to play all the time.
Farrah.
Yeah. So the Farrah and the Mercy build, like those two, like building those builds up together. I was like, what is this stuff? Like, I don't know what this stuff is.
Oh,
it's a whole nother world now.
Yeah, when I play, they're on a whole nother level. And I'm like, okay, well, you know. But yeah, definitely like characters that complement each other well.
We need to get back in that game. I miss that game really bad. They've been dropping so much new content to it.
Well, I'm definitely,
It's so good.
All right.
It's like Fortnite. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right?
Let's both do these last three.
Yeah, so we have two more, right?
Two more.
So Oculus Go is a new VR headset that just came out. It's $200, and it is a standalone headset from the Oculus team that requires no phone. Actually, it does require a phone to download the games, but the games load onto your device. So once you download them and install them and stuff, like, you purchase on your phone, they transfer your device, and then you can have it on your device. There's a 32 gigabyte version and a 64 gigabyte version. You have the entire Oculus Rift library available to you, which is over 1,000 titles now. And you can download these games and play them standalone. There is no motion tracking or positional tracking. It's just 360 degree view. And then you have a little controller that they give you that you can use to play. But if you want to get into VR, Oculus Go is a pretty lightweight, simple option. It's got built-in headphones, which is pretty cool. And, they brought a VR headset down to $200 that looks and plays really nice. So anybody wants to jump into it but doesn't want to spend the $400 plus the cost of the PC rig to play Oculus Rift, Oculus Go is a good alternative for them.
Yeah, I think this is a great idea, and I'd like to see, you know, obviously see it in practice. So I'm anxious about it.
All right. Last but not least, we have some Black Ops 4 news, y'all.
Oh dear.
Activision came out and had an earnings call, and they said that Black Ops 4 is going to push the envelope this year. They are talking big, big things about this game. We talked about last time where maybe no single player, maybe some battle royale thrown into this game. I don't know, but either way, they said that this game is not just going to build on our strengths, it will continue to push the envelope in innovation. You will see in the core game itself that we have a number of new, exciting developments. And they are putting a significant amount of resources into the PC edition to make that part great. So they're really putting a lot of time and energy into the PC port or the PC version in order to make sure that they come out of the gate strong with that, which is good that they're paying attention to the PC finally again, which they should have been from the beginning.
But I agree. Whatever. Yeah.
So there you have it, folks. And on May 17th, we're going to get the official reveal of what this game is actually going to be. It's right around the corner. Who's jazzed?
In all honesty, this game's been low on my totem pole. Yeah. But hey, now that they're paying more attention to the PC gamers out there, we'll see.
Eh.
All right. Austin's a cynical Mexican.
I'll agree with that.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I'll agree with that.
So that's going to wrap it up for our news this week. If there's something that we missed, we want to hear from you. Email us at hello@dnrgamer.net and we'll talk about it next week. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, please give us a review and rating on iTunes. We'll be back after our break, the discussion topic on Fortnite. Woo! Prepare yourselves.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Today we are going to talk about the rise of Fortnite. We're going to get into we've dabbled into a little bit of Fortnite here and there, but we haven't really had an in-depth discussion about what it means for the gaming industry, especially now that it's like literally one of the most popular games on the internet. Pretty much,
have we really dabbled?
We did a little bit. I mean, we did some news discussions. We did some topics on
it. We tried to play it, and we hated it so much that we didn't play it
for a while. Austin hated it.
He hated it.
He
would call me in the middle of the night and be like, why did we play this game? It is ruining my life.
It's been worse in my mouth.
Right, Scott? Yeah.
Yeah, it's craziness. I feel like that's exactly
craziness. Right. But yeah, so Fortnite's like blown up. It's huge right now, and we're going to take a look at how this game... I'm going to give a little brief history, actually, before we jump into where we are now.
All right.
I want to mention that...
What is Fortnite?
What most people don't realize is that this game was in development for 7 years. It started Fortnite. Yeah, Fortnite was in development Yes. So, sure.
But now when you say...
Getting to that. Getting to that. So Fortnite has been in development for 7 years, but it was in development as a PvE game it's now called Save the World. So it was a game... that the entire premise of it was a save the world game mode in which you and three other players are building forts and defending off against waves of like zombie-like creatures and stuff like that. Sound pretty accurate? Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's paid. It's early access. You can pay to play it. And then when the game released, they saw the success of PUBG and Battle Royale. Yep. They were like, that's kind of interesting. And then in 2 months, they whipped together Fortnite Battle Royale, which originally was going to be part of the paid early access of Save the World. And then 2 weeks before releasing it, they decided, let's try free to play, see what happens. They threw it out free to play, and now Fortnite Battle Royale is like the thing that people talk about. So when they think of Fortnite now, they think of Battle Royale, not necessarily Save the World.
Yeah.
It's like the sad sister, which is funny because, again, Battle Royale was 2 months of development. The Fortnite Save the World was 7 years of development. But part of that success, I think, came from the fact that they spent 7 years making a really good, solid foundation that they could then just like build all these things outward from that.
See, Destiny and Bungie, this could be you. But you sucked. So
they apparently have a big announcement coming in the fall.
Okay.
Probably gonna be Battle Royale Destiny.
We're ending Destiny.
yep.
No, but I just pulled up this article here, and it says Fortnite crosses 50 million in revenue thanks to the latest season 4 update.
Wow.
50 million.
Wow. $50 million.
That's a far cry from the original purchase.
Keep in mind, this is a free game that made $50 million because of microtransactions and all the other fancy things. So season 4 just came out last week, and season 4... So the lead up to season 4 was really interesting because they started releasing people started seeing comets in the sky of the Fortnite map. Now, keep in mind, Fortnite just has like one map for Battle Royale, and there was these comets that started appearing up in the sky. People were like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. So naturally they turned to Reddit because that's what people do. And Reddit starts speculating about all these different things that could be happening. Well, ultimately what that was the eventual release of season 4, which saw the comets impact the map and completely change the look of the map. And now like Dusty Depot has become the Dusty Divot, and it's a big, huge, massive crater with a little bit of a town in there that are a little like military base.
Yeah.
And crystals that are there that you can consume them, and they give you low gravity abilities for a short period of time. And other little map changes around the area. Like there's little like notions of film sets being filmed. Mm-hmm. Like have you seen the green screen areas? Yep. There's like areas where there's like green screen.
Yeah. No idea what
there's
you're talking
about. There's a room with like a disco place in there. There's an area with a movie theater or like a drive-in movie theater. Yeah. Like all these different things that they've like implemented into the map to change up the way it looks a little bit. So that's season 4. In addition to a new loading screen, lots of new updates and downloadables and things you can pay for in the battle pass to give you more good loot and stuff like that. So
that is true.
There we go. It's season four, guys. A little bit.
Yeah.
Touch on it. So
yeah. Brief. Yeah.
How do you all feel about it so far? Like, we played a little bit last night. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm liking it a little more now, surprisingly. So me and Scott played and we jumped in and we ended up getting number five on like a third game, which was surprising because the first time I played this, I like died almost instantly. Like it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this game? On top of that, you have to build stuff. And I hate the building. I hate it so much. Like it's a bane on my existence. Like it's a cool feature to have. I know why they have it, because the original game was all about the building. And so adding that dynamic really changes up the gameplay because we're so used to PUBG. And I guess for the most part, we kind of got it down. Like, we can build some stuff. We can kind of protect ourselves. But it's like nothing. Like, we aren't good. Some people can build stuff in like seconds. I'm just like, how do you even do this? I watch some people online. I'm just like, this is too much time. It seems like needs to be put into that to get really good at it, which, I mean, I guess, you know, like, since we played PUBG so much, obviously it could probably get good. At this point, it's something I'll come back to, I think. And if you guys play it, I'll play it with you. But I've yet to be like, yes, I want to play this all the time.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's interesting too, because like the mentality for most people has completely changed from PUBG. Like, I feel like all the hardcore PUBG fans have ventured off from PUBG and have migrated to Fortnite. And like, I'm hearing the conversation more of like, let's play Fortnite tonight, or Fortnite's going to happen, or like, what's happening with Fortnite? And PUBG is kind of like the neglected firstborn child that isn't quite, given as much attention as it used to have. And
which
it's
is
so
really
weird.
Sad. Yeah. It's really, really sad because PUBG had something good going for it. And now Fortnite is like a legitimate studio. I'm not saying that Blue Mammoth isn't, but
it's a Blue Point.
Blue Point, sorry. Yeah. What was I thinking? Blue Mammoth. Who's Blue Mammoth?
Blue Mammoth is Brawlhalla.
Ah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
A Blue Hole, sorry. Blue Point also the guys that did the remastering of the latest remaster game.
We know nothing about video games.
I forgot. They did Uncharted. They did Uncharted.
Blue Hole is still trying to get their shit
PUBG
together.
Core, if you want to call it that.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. And then you have Epic, which has like been around for quite a while, and like they know what they're doing. And having that nice system built for the original Fortnite is going to be a staple going forward for many other people. It's just like, let's make something solid that we can manipulate as we need to.
Yeah.
And then people are going to start following trends like that. And I assume Epic is going to start doing that now. They're just going to start following trends as much as they can, because they whip something out 2 months. Like, who else could do that? I don't know any other company that will do that or has the possibility of doing
it. It's impressive.
That.
Yeah. Radical Heights did that. When they brought out Radical Heights, they whipped that together in 2 months and were like, hey, here's an early access game. It's Battle Royale. Surprise. We quit Lawbreakers, and then 2 months later, we have a new Battle Royale game that they're slowly developing and stuff.
Do it in 2 months and do it good.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Radical Heights is not good.
Yeah. But again, like, they built that one from like nothing. And Fortnite had a huge, huge backing to it and stuff like that. But it's interesting to see where Fortnite has come and where it's at now and where we think it might be going in the future.
Yeah.
So I guess, original thoughts when you guys first heard about Fortnite coming out?
Well I didn't want to play it.
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, it sounded really good, but for like when Charlie did our video for us, like, it was an overly complex.
Well, it was just Fortnite at that point.
Yeah. It was to save the world. And it was like,
Fortnite Battle Royale thoughts is what I'm talking about.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Fortnite. Original, like, Fortnite
Save the World. Call it Save the World.
Yeah.
Save the World.
Fortnite
now
proper
you got Battle Royale.
Doesn't exist technically.
Yeah. So you have Save the World, you got Battle Royale. Go by those names, because they're separate.
People say Fortnite, they're talking about Battle Royale. Yeah. They're not talking about proper.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, original thoughts when it first came out.
Yeah.
To be honest, there was no allure for me. And like, I knew how difficult the building mechanics like were. Like, it just seemed like it was too complex. Like, I, you know, PUBG, I enjoy it a lot, you know? Because it's just the simple, I'm, run and gun kind of thing. But with this, it's the whole building mechanic. It's like, I got, a good scope on this guy. I'm going to shoot at him. And then he builds a wall and completely blocks me. Like, what? This is insane.
Yeah,
he can do it in like a second, It's just like that blew my mind. But I kind of feel a little different about your perspective. Like, when we started playing last night, I was like, yeah, this is you know, this is not worth it. You know, like, this is whatever. You know, like, I like the aesthetics. And like I said, it reminds me kind of like the Fable, the way it looks.
Yeah.
But it's kind of growing on me a little bit. Like, yeah. I was enjoying it a lot.
Yeah.
A lot closer to the end.
And I think I was it helps it's all of us playing.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, who you play with really matters. So I think the fact that we kind of were on the same, you know, level, it wasn't like these crazy experienced players like you were playing with last night, Brett.
Yeah.
We were all on the same level learning it together. That's what makes it enjoyable to me. I think if I were playing with a bunch of pros, I'd be like, okay, maybe I'm done.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. So how is it playing with Josh and them? And these are guys from our Discord channel that actually play this quite often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, it was, we had a good time. I think because we had a long discussion about last night when I was playing with them, I was asking them about their thoughts on Fortnite and where it's come, and like the fact that they literally, like, they were playing PUBG every day. Now they're playing Fortnite every day. Hmm. So like they've completely, like, PUBG is not a thing to them anymore. They've completely stopped playing PUBG.
Really?
More or less, yeah.
Okay.
And they'll jump into like the event modes and stuff like that, but like they are almost exclusively playing Fortnite. And I asked them like what the reason was for it, and one of the things that Josh brought up to us that I think is a key component of this is a balanced game. Like, whereas with PUBG, like, they've always had issues with optimization. They've always had issues with the fact that you could play a 45-minute round and find all kinds of cool shit and then die in one shot.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like you waste so much time in that. But this game, like, you drop in within 5 minutes, you're encountering some form of action, you know, whether you die or you don't die or whatever.
Yeah, the map
you're
is encountering a lot smaller. Stuff.
The map is smaller, but it's also like it like directs the attention to key areas. Like, people don't drop at little small little villages like you do in PUBG. Yeah. They drop in the things that are labeled on the map. And so by doing that, it definitely kind of funnels people to areas to engage in combat a lot quicker. And yeah, so it's like, it's way faster paced. It's way more balanced. Like, I don't feel like, I mean, sometimes I still feel like I get cheap shots. Like, the shotguns are way overpowered.
Yeah.
Like, that sucks. But ultimately,
Scott knows.
Yeah.
So, quick story about the shotgun. I run up to this guy and he wasn't paying attention. He was trying to build something or looking at something. So I kill him. His friend comes up, ends up killing me. Scott found a badass shotgun and ends up killing this dude who is definitely someone who's way more experienced.
Yeah.
But like, luckily it's early game.
Yeah.
So,
and it's just luck of the draw.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, so he was able to kill this guy in two shots and it was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, there are dude. Because what I do like about Fortnite is, you know, the people who are playing a lot.
Oh,
because they all have a certain skin or a certain aesthetic that you can see that you're like, okay, these guys know what they're doing. And then they look at you and they're like, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're building like a stairway to heaven.
And people are giving me shit for having like the stock skin. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. I haven't spent money on this game yet, okay?
Yeah. So yeah,
don't judge me. I'm going to spend $10 right now.
You don't put money in.
And then PUBG, you don't know who you're fighting against.
Right.
It could be anybody.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's the other night when we were playing, you know, and some of us got killed. It was like, holy shit, I'm already down.
Yeah.
There is no like,
yeah,
okay, it's coming over here. It's like, boom, boom, dead.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's also interesting to me about this is like when I drop into a area in which there's like, you know, back in PUBG, the big thing is there anybody around us? Like, are we going to drop into a heated area, like a hot zone or whatever? And for me, it was almost guaranteed. It's like, okay, well, let's either run away from this town or let's like, just quit
really far out.
Run away from the town or just quit, because we're not going to find a gun to take these guys down. Like, chances are they're going to kill us.
Yeah.
Fortnite, I feel like there's less of that. I feel like it's
you
drop
a
into
chance.
A town, you pick up a weapon, it's like, I'm going to fucking get these guys. Like, we're going to take them out. Whether we die or not, I'm going to get them. And we're going to try and, like, you feel more inclined to engage in combat than you used to in the other one. And I think a lot of that is the fact that, you know, there's less weapons to have to worry about. Like, you can pick up an assault rifle pretty quickly. You don't have to worry about mods or attachments that affect your recoil and your balance and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, most of the game, you can play freaking hip fire. You know, you don't have to aim down your sights or anything like that.
Well, it's not really aiming down sights unless you have a scope on it.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Which,
yeah.
So, I mean, was a huge thing at first, which really deterred me from playing. So I was like, how can you not aim down your sights?
Right.
This is stupid. Like, seriously? Like, not even a mini zoom in. Well, I guess there's a slight zoom in, but not even that
zoom
much.
In, yeah. But yeah.
It's very slight. And that really irked me. Like, it was bad. Like, it was infuriating, because it was like, how do I shoot these people who are far away? At least in PUBG, you can zoom in and then, you know, like, aim down your sights and then kind of zoom in a little more with their, if you hold shift right? Shift, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it just steadies your gun, but yeah.
Well, that too, but it actually it does pushes you in just a slight tad more, which helps a lot. And playing with you, Scott, it was like, okay, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
I kind of understand it this time, which I think it's all about time and place. Like, it was a good time for us to jump into it because we had to for this discussion. And so,
well, so here's the thing too. So kind of going back to what you were saying, Brett, about, you know, you pay like a 45 minute match in PUBG and then get nothing, not even a kill, which to me happens a lot because I'm just a total noob.
If I get two kills,
even though I'm not a noob,
because I've
been playing a while. Yeah. But it's like, that's what I like about Fortnite is because, well, one, the pacing, but two, to me, it doesn't take itself too seriously, which I like.
Yeah.
I like in a game because when I play games, I'll play it for the fun of it. So the fact that I can just like pick up a shotgun and just like take on a squad if I want to, or even a pickaxe, you know, if you get lucky enough, you can take someone out with a gun. Like there's so many things that could happen, and it's almost like you really can't plan that well. And you know, everybody else is in the same thing. Like, man, they opened a gold chest, but there's a chance they didn't get anything great, you know? Like, so it's just the fact that it's so spontaneous. I think that's what's so great about it.
Yeah.
And that's what I enjoy.
And I like too how, I mean, one of the things I want to discuss in here is that just how they approach season four and like how they transition into this. And I want to see them do more of these things where they did something that few other developers do, and that like with most games, you have expectations of what's going to come. Like you know, well ahead of time, like with Overwatch, for example, like they have a developer update and they say, here's the map we're working on, here's the character we're working on. But then also one of the things that Overwatch did really well that I think Epic has kind of taken note of is that, you know, with Sombra, like they spent forever with this like real life mystery thing of like, who's this mysterious character?
Oh, yeah,
is this a
ARG
character? Yeah, the ARG thing. Like, who is this person or whatever? And then they did that same thing here at Fortnite where it was like, there's this comet that shows up in the sky. It got a conversation started, but they didn't have to do anything but just like put an art asset up in the sky.
Right.
And then next thing you know, people are like talking about it. So like the ability to do that and basically create free press for them while they're hard at work just making that content, like that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I want to see them do more things like that, because most of the time, like, you know, like, okay, every so often we're going to get some new fresh updates or whatever, but to throw that into the mix, it kind of, it's like, what are they going to do next? Like, for example, one of the things that somebody found a dinosaur print in the map, in this map right now, where there's like a big, huge, massive print in there. It's like, are we going to see dinosaurs down the line? Or is that just part of the like movie set thing?
Or is it like a mutant, like monster alien thing? Like, who knows? Like,
who knows?
You know, you got meteors, like, you know.
Yeah.
So
those kinds of things are, I mean, they get a conversation started, and they especially get Reddit conversating and stuff like that. So those are I think are smart moves that I feel like more developers should take note of that. I mean, it's hard to do for sure, because like, I mean, how many times can you get creative with those kinds of ideas? But you can tell it doesn't take much. Like, Heroes just comment. It's like, this happens.
All this is mind-blowing to me right now, just putting it in perspective. Like, how do you go from this kind of unfinished early access game, which has a small following, to a ginormous
entity
that's completely different from your original idea?
Yeah.
Like, they're geniuses.
Yeah. Well, so
to be so successful, like, that doesn't happen very often.
No, I think this is actually probably the one, it might be the first game of its kind to be so big. And even with all the platforms that it's on, like, and it works pretty fluidly. That's what amazes me.
Yeah. There's definitely a technical achievement for sure. I wrote a few things down about like how other developers can take note of this success. And like, I try to think about, okay, what are the things that they did right in these moments leading up to season four, and just like the success of Battle Royale in the last, it's been about it almost a year.
September 17th will be a year.
So we're not even a year yet, but like, don't be afraid to take risks, pivot when it's time. Like, you know, you can be okay with like letting go of some of what you've done. I think that's important to do. Definitely listen to your community. Like, I think they did a really good job at listening to the people that were interacting with this game, having fun with it. Like, for example, like the fact, like all these stupid little meme, like emoticons and emotes that they're throwing in here. Like, there was one that was, the broken bones or whatever, where the guy, there's a emoji thing you can buy now where the guy's just like moving his body around like he's Play-Doh or whatever. Like, that's a thing you can do. And then they just threw in there. Like Drake said, like, he'll rap about Fortnite if they throw Hotline Bling in there. I guarantee you they're working on Hotline Bling right now. They're just gonna like animate that and throw that thing in there.
Oh yeah.
So like those kinds of things are intense. And granted, they take a lot of time because so I was listening, this is like off topic, but on topic. I was listening to an interview with the developers of Friday the 13th, the game. And they said that they're a small team, right? And they were talking about how like people are like, why haven't you put this new version of Freddy? It's Freddy, right? It's Friday the 13th, Freddy Krueger or no? Is it Jason? Jason. Yeah, so like they were wondering why they didn't put this new version of Jason in there. Like there's this version of Jason that everybody loves or whatever. And they're like, why isn't it here yet? And he was like, well, to be honest, there's a lot of work involved because one, we got to get the voice actors. Two, we got to record the mocap. Three, we have to animate it. Four, we have to like build the skins and all this stuff. Five, we got to make sure that they have new like abilities and things of that nature. So like applying that to an emote, like, you do need to have somebody like literally motion cap that,
yeah,
animate it, develop it. I mean, it's not like something you can just do in an hour. You know, it's probably a couple of days at least process of development time you're taking away from other things.
Yeah, exactly.
So
other than maintaining the actual game too.
Right.
Yeah. On top of.
So it's kind of interesting. But the fact that they're listening to the community and like throwing things in there that involve the community so actively is really awesome. So
I think this could be its own discussion, but I guess I'll touch on it a little bit here. But like appropriating the culture, the current culture, into these games, Salt and Destiny, see it here. I know some other games that do this too, but I can't remember. But it was mostly the emote thing, like the people, the dancing and doing stuff like that. And it used to just be like something kind of cool where it's like, strong or sad, just like, but now it's like, like all this really weird hip stuff. And then obviously the Drake emote that's probably going to come eventually. It's just like, that's just. Why do people go for that? And it makes this game that much better for everybody, you know?
Yeah. I think it's just like, another form of expression. Like you can make the character more your own with the way you have it, you know? Well, like even like the skins, like it's amazing what they have there now. Like just all kinds of stuff, like those Tron looking skins, like that stuff. I'm like, it's pretty cool. Maybe not $10 cool or whatever yet, but it's cool.
So I want to talk on that for a second because I'm glad you brought that up because I was talking to David. David's another one of the – he listens to us. He's part of our Discord channel and stuff like that. I was wanting to have him on the discussion today as well, but he couldn't come on. He got sick and stuff. But we talked about this a little bit, and I told him the conversation we're going to have. And he is kind of – he likes Fortnite, but he doesn't love Fortnite. And the reason is
– he likes it, but he doesn't
I believe it, yeah. And I believe him in saying this and that, you know, when you're playing Fortnite, you have all these skins, all these cool add-ons and stuff you can get that cost V-Bucks. You buy the V-Bucks and you can get these things. One thing that he mentioned, a game where you look at yourself, you want to be individualized and have this personality and be recognized and stuff like that. Why can't you change the look of your player?
Yeah.
Like, why can't you customize the color of your skin?
Yeah.
Like,
it's always random.
Little things like that. I was like, that would be really, that's a great point. Like, why can't I buy a skin and customize it to make it my own so that it's not like everybody, like whenever the new skin comes out of that week, like everybody has the exact same skin as they always do. Like you're not individualized in any way. I never thought of it that way. If you could just add the ability to basically change the shader of your, kind of like, well, Destiny has the shaders where you get the skin or the armor and you add shaders onto it to make it a little different.
Right.
Like that kind of concept in this game, I think would be a huge addition to the game.
You get a crate or you rack up points every match to get a crate that you can just buy that doesn't cost anything. And it's a skin that costs something, but not the color, the shader. Like that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I agree. And I don't make games, but I would think just being able to change colors wouldn't be that
I don't think so either. Yeah.
To do so. Yeah.
Hey, that's like another $1 million investment.
Yeah.
Right, come
right
on.
Right there,
come
right,
on.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, Epic, if you're listening, like let us know. We would love to hear from you. Yeah, hello at theinnergamer.net. You know, let us know.
So I like to discuss where PUBG could draw from Fortnite. And the one major thing I saw was the challenges.
Challenges or the events?
I think the challenge is the unlock challenge. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Like every match that you rank up in the challenge and that allows you to get other stuff, like get V-Bucks or get
unlocked. Oh, you're saying if PUBG took that idea.
So that progression system with the challenges is great because
I agree.
Every other match I was unlocking something.
Yeah.
At this point, I can't get anything, but like I feel like I'm getting up to something and obviously there's tiers for that. That is what PUBG needs because... you don't feel like you're getting anywhere with PUBG most of the time. Yeah, you get some points and you can buy some loot crates, but then you have to, you know, open those loot crates with
you
keys.
You have to get keys, yeah.
You know, and now the skins for PUBG, like, it's turned into CSGO.
Yeah,
and because if you look at those crates, it shows you all the unlocks and stuff, and it's just like, this feels archaic to me.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know?
No, I agree.
Well, you know, it's like, think of the satisfaction that you get when you get a loot box in Overwatch. You unlock five things, and you got all these things you can get. You unlock a crate in PUBG, you get one item, and it's probably the same damn shirt that I've gone five times.
Well,
like, and they're not interesting looking items either.
And the resale value is terrible. Yeah. It's like, man, these battle, like, two battle points? What the heck? Yeah. You know, like, well, and here's the thing that's interesting. So I've been playing PUBG Mobile. And I've actually, they have a system kind of like that. And I've unlocked more content in PUBG Mobile like the past, I guess, 2 months I've been playing it maybe.
Dang.
Than I have in the entirety of PUBG that I've been playing. So
how many hours of mobile do you have?
I maybe do like
10 hours.
If that. Yeah.
Okay.
Like it's not.
Wow.
It's like, I honestly think it's maybe 7 like total, because the matches don't last insanely long even when I play them on mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I usually do that when I have like, and like a little bit of downtime or something, or lunch or something at work. Like it's, you know, so it's just like, it's insane to me that like literally I have like, you know, almost 6 different costumes entirely out of, you know, I even have like a new parachute and everything. Like they change a whole bunch. Like, in mobile. And I'm like, why can't they just apply this to the actual game?
Freaking people. You know what I think PUBG, or not PUBG, what Fortnite needs more than anything is, as much as they can, they can change the map all they want, they need another map. They need to start putting more maps out.
Yes.
Because that one's getting really stale.
Yeah.
And like, you know, that's something that PUBG is kind of, you know, it took them forever to bring out Miramar. Like forever.
That's true.
And it's because that map was huge. And then they realized, okay, maybe we made a mistake with that.
Too big.
Let's now like do a tropical map and let's make that smaller. Yeah. So hopefully that one comes out, you know, within the next couple months, and that'll be a much better turnaround time. But they definitely need more maps to change up the space, because I mean, as much as I like playing that game, like I don't want to be finding the same areas over and over again. I want to see different experiences and then add those changes every season to those maps and stuff like that. Like that would be cool.
Yeah. PUBG needs seasons too. I think that would be very successful.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, they just did a huge update. So now when you start off in PUBG, you can pick all maps to jump into, so it's randomized, or you can pick one map that you want to jump into, and the UI has been changed, and they had a bunch of little other mini things to the maps like in the game and stuff like that. And it's better.
Remember when Miramar first came out, we were like, oh man, Miramar is so good, like that air angle map or whatever, we're never gonna play that thing again. And now it shifted.
We?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of us did for
that.
The initial response.
I liked the change, but I didn't.
The initial response, like when we all first played it, like we really did, like it was huge, but like we were, I don't know, maybe you, but I know when me and Travis were playing, like we were like, yeah, this is pretty cool. And then like not even a couple of days later, we're like, okay, this is terrible. It's too big. It's too open.
Yeah.
It's just not as good.
Fortnite does do that really good. You only go a few minutes without engaging somebody or like seeing somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and then there's like draw points too. Kind of like, I mean, there are some in PUBG, but it's not insane.
Far and few between, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, here's the thing about Fortnite. Like I could probably get in like in 2 hours worth of Fortnite, I probably could have unlocked a skin even if I hadn't paid for it, you know? But PUBG, like I could pay 2 rounds in 2 hours and get nothing, you know?
If
like,
you buy that battle pass, you get shit every match you play. Oh, it's so good. I was like blown away when I got that thing.
We'll see.
Oh, man. It's crazy. Every minute. And you still get the other updates too. It's like so
much.
And
the XP boost.
I never
got that 66%.
60% XP boost.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I never thought I would be an advocate of the battle pass in this game.
I honestly.
Shit.
Yeah.
You guys want to play Fortnite later?
How long does the season last? Does anybody know?
That's a good question.
Okay,
I don't know.
Let's find out.
To be honest with
how
you.
How long does the season last?
Scott, do you have any final words before we end it with this thing?
You know, honestly,
I mean, it's grown on all of us.
Yeah, I would say Fortnite is definitely, it's something new, and I am enjoying it.
It is a contender. So. I understand now why it's a contender.
Yeah.
Not only for its look, but it is well-roundedly polished in many areas and brings a lot of better aspects to the Battle Royale than PUBG, which is funny to see that PUBG is so far behind. So, like, I wonder where they're putting all their time and money into.
The events, maybe?
Not even.
You know, that was cool, though. The events were cool.
The events in PUBG were fun.
That made me want to play it a little bit more. I know people, like, really didn't like the shotgun mode. I loved it. So
yeah, I did too.
Yeah. I honestly don't know.
The events were smart for PUBG. Yeah. Like putting those in there, that really changed the game quite a bit. Except for the one this weekend that apparently they
only lasted
the
for
servers
a day.
And lasted like less than 24 hours. Yeah, it was crazy.
Maybe they're trying with that, but yeah, I don't know. To be honest with you,
they're too slow, and maybe it's the platform that the game is made on. I don't know, but they really need to kick it into high gear this next year.
Yeah,
they're going to be extinct within a few months if they don't continue to dish this out.
Yeah. Season is roughly going to be, it's roughly 70 days, 65 to 70 days. So it'll end in the beginning of July. So that's how long the season's going to last. So
that's a decent,
two-ish months.
Plenty of time to unlock that stuff. I mean, it's just kind of like Overwatch with the other stuff.
Yeah.
But Overwatch is like shorter, I feel like.
I think so too. But I mean, you think about every season, they're probably going to come out with a new map. It's probably going to take some time. So I understand.
Yeah. But, well, yeah.
Cool. Well, anybody, people watching and or listening, make sure if you have any comments regarding this, if you like, what do you want to see in the future of Fortnite? What do you think they're doing right? What do you think they're doing wrong? Let us know in the comments, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on it. And if you're playing more Fortnite than you are PUBG, let us know that. Give us your gamer tag. We'll play with you guys. You know, add you on our Epic account.
Our Discord was like mostly PUBG, but now it's turned to be mostly Fortnite. So,
and if you want to be in the Discord for $12 a year, you can get an invite to our Discord channel. That's all. It's $12. You can play with us. It's gonna be awesome. So you should check it out.
$1 a month.
$1 a month. Yes. Mm. So that concludes our discussion topic this week. If there's a topic that you want to hear us talk about, please email us at hello@dnrgamer.net. Don't forget to check out our video of this segment. This time you will for real see a video, youtube.com/dnrgamer.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week, let's talk about our upcoming video game releases. We have two games coming out. On May 11th, we have Warhammer 40K Inquisitor Martyr. I don't know where they came up with that name, but that's the name. It's coming out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. This is a game in which you enter the chaos-infected Caligari sector and purge the unclean with the most powerful agents of the Imperium of Man. Warhammer 40,000 blah 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 is a grim action RPG featuring multiple classes of the Inquisition who will carry out the will of the Emperor even in the darkest reaches of the Imperium. I just didn't want to say the name because it's really funky. And then on May 15th on Nintendo Switch, we have Battle Chasers Night War is coming back. It's being ported to the Switch.
Finally, I've been waiting.
Have you been waiting for this moment?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's been on Steam. I didn't want to play it on Steam. It was a perfect game for the Switch, and they took forever, but we got it.
And now it's coming.
We got it.
On May 15th. This is a game that was originally released on PC, PS4, and Xbox One in October of 2017. It's an RPG inspired by the classic console greats, featuring deep dungeon diving, turn-based combat, presented in a classic JRPG format, and a rich story-driven by exploration of the world. This sounds like a game right up Austin's alley. He's ready to play it. You ready to play this, Scott? You ready for Battle Chasers? Are you going to get on PC?
You know, I'm definitely, you know what? Why not?
Make it happen.
We can't play together.
It's okay.
Oh, that's right. It's multiplayer, is it?
No,
yeah, it should be multiplayer.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, that's going to wrap up our show this week. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite video game podcast. Visit theinnergamer.net for our latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes or tell a friend.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Sorry, I'm pulling a Brett.
Oh my gosh.
We also have a Patreon set up for which is a way for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you all the great content you want to hear and see. Even $1 a day, that's $12 a month.
$1 a day
for $12 a month.
That doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
$30 a month.
Or 31, or 28 days if it's February.
There it is.
Or 29 if it's a leap year.
So, I was trying to make it cheap for everybody, right?
That's more expensive, though.
Whatever.
Ours is $12 a year.
Even a dollar a month will help us bring the content coming to you each and every week. You support us, we have some awesome rewards waiting for you, such as being a guest on the podcast or getting exclusive content. So head on over to theinnergamer.net. What is it, Scott? The Inner Gamer.
At theinnergamer.net.
Theinnergamer.net. Brett, what is it? Give it to me.
$30 a month. patreon.com/theinnergamer.
Theinnergamer.net. Click donate to contribute. That was just awful. My name is Austin Morales.
My name is Brayden Oski.
My name is Scott Craig.
And you've been listening to The Inner Gamer!
Chandelier!
Can you punch him for me? Oh, this is really hard in the cheek.
God.
Scott.
My ears are bleeding.
Is that really how low you're gonna be talking?
What?
That is better.
I can talk like this.
That's
this
better.
This is my semi-announcer voice. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dallas Stars.
Are you ready to rumble?
Or is this too loud?
No, that he's good. He's actually good.
Okay, yeah. This is my normal.
Because I was talking just over him at the time.
Oh.
And
I was screaming like a monkey.
All the magic. All right, three. Two, one, one, one,
okay,
one, one.